This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
All right, I want you to turn to Psalm 29. And while you do that, I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you that you've been speaking to us this morning, that you're always speaking to us. Lord, I just thank you that you've opened our ears to hear you a little bit clearer this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that as we meditate now on your word, as we delve into your word, as we dig into its treasure and find what it is that you want us to see today, open our hearts a little more, Lord, expand our hearts, open our understanding to take in knowledge, but to take in revelation, to take it, to be illuminated by the truth that's in this word. No more knowledge for us, Lord. Our head is full enough, but we need you to touch our hearts today, Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Psalm 29. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. That's what I've been meditating on over and over for the last couple of weeks. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Started thinking about that. So the first thing I want us to do is, what does that mean, the glory due his name? We've been singing about it this morning. He is the King of glory. Turn now to Psalm 24. It's just one or two pages over. And I'm going to start at verse 7 because I want us to remember. We forget, as Adam said, that was so timely. We forget sometimes some of these things about God. Lift up your heads. We're starting at verse 7. In Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Because I want us to get a proper perspective of the honour that is due his name. He is the King of glory. I want us now to turn, I'm going to just flip back over. There's going to be a lot of Bible flipping, so I want to hear pages flipping this morning. Back, I'm going to read the rest of Psalm 29. So I've read the first two. I'm going to start at verse 3 of Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Are you getting it in your spirit this morning who I'm talking about? The King of glory. Let's turn now to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to just read verses 12 to 18. Then I turned to see the voice of that. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. And his countenance, oh, his countenance was like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and Hades." Of Hades and death. Sorry, my eyes are blurry. I can't read. I get emotional about that every time. You know it. You've heard me read it before. Because that does something in my spirit. We're talking about the King of Glory. And when I saw him, when I looked upon his glory appearing like the light of the sun, I fell down like I was a dead person. And he reached down and he touched me. And he said, "Don't be afraid." He's done that to all of us. He is majesty and strength and power. And he reaches down and touches you and says, "Don't be afraid. I've got it all covered," and gives us peace. Get a tissue, sorry. I love reading descriptions of God and of Jesus. I also love the descriptions of him described as the lamb that was slain. We have these two, extremes, but they're not extremes, these two characteristics of God, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion denotes strength and power and majesty, king, his awesomeness. We love that. We embrace that. And when we want God to act strong on our behalf, when we want to fight a battle, when we've got a victory we want to walk in, we see the lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise you, Lord. We embrace that. And then we see the lamb who was slain. The lamb representing the meekness and the sacrifice that we couldn't offer for ourselves, the sacrifice that only he could give, and that touches us, and it should. And so we have these two characteristics of God that seem, he covers it all. What I want to talk to you today about is an aspect of that. We love all that. I love seeing God and Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. But what I'm touched by today, and what I want you to get today, and what I want you to leave with today, is if we are truly going to live lives that give him the honor that's due his name, we have to truly get hold of who it really is that is walking this walk with us. And I mean, okay, let me try and get to where I want you to go. A couple of weeks, no, it was last week in the prayer room, we were praying, and I don't remember, it was towards the end of the prayer meeting, I think, and I don't remember what I'd started praying about, and I don't remember what I prayed about in the middle, but I remember how it finished. And it finished like this: "Lord, forgive me for being comfortable in my sin." And I realized that, I don't know quite when it happened, but somewhere in that prayer, I had stopped talking to God and he had started talking to me. And he was showing me that there's areas in your life, Karen, and areas in your life, in our lives, that we are comfortable with our sin. And if we truly had a proper perspective of the King of Glory, of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and the power and the authority and the glory that's due his name, we could never be comfortable in our sin, ever. And that's what it's about. That's what this message is about today. I am a real authority rule girl. And I don't know about you, but when I see a policeman, even if I'm doing the right thing, I do it better. If I'm driving in the car, I make sure the seatbelt's on. Do you know what? If I see a policeman walking down the street, when I used to serve the policeman that I knew, our local policeman, you know, I'd say hi to them down the street and they'd get in their uniform and I'd have to be like, that's how it got. That's how it is. I'm an authority girl. Well, we need to be like that with God. We need to pick up our socks and not, we get comfortable, we get familiar. And okay, I want you to hear the balance today. We should be familiar with God and comfortable with him and go to him about anything, but we stay there and we forget about his power and authority and majesty, and I wouldn't dare do half the things I do or say half the things I say or watch half the things I watch or hang around half the people I hang around if I remembered that the King of Glory was with me and he wants me to give him the honour that's due his name. And the honour that's due his name is me not being comfortable in my sin and you not being comfortable in your sin. We don't set out to sin. I don't wake up every morning and think, okay, what sin can I do today, God, because you'll just forgive me. You know, we know that. We've been taught that. But there are things we get comfortable with. And one thing I thought about in my life, and it's been happening a bit probably this week, is worry. Did you know that worry is actually a sin? Worry is a sin. Anything that God tells us not to do and we do is a sin. Okay, I've just got to find where I want us to look at that. I want us to look in Matthew 5:25. Sorry, I'm skipping around over my notes a little bit, but we'll get there. Matthew 5:25. Am I right? No, I'm Matthew 6, am I? Oh, help me, I'm lost. Thank you. That's exactly right, Matthew 6, thank you. Okay, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? And we know this scripture. He goes on in verse, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 31, if you skip down there, he's again, therefore do not worry. And he tells us again about, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. So that's twice. In verse 34, right at the end of that, he says, therefore do not worry. Three times in that little scripture, he tells us not to worry. And what do I do? Worry. It's a sin. And you know what? That's what I'm talking about, being comfortable in our sin. We get comfortable in that. We don't realize what an insult that is to God. And I'm talking about worry as an example. I want you to put in that place whatever it is that God's putting on your heart right now, because I know there's something. I want you to spend a minute and let the Holy Spirit point that out to you. Ask him, what is it in my life that I have just become so comfortable with God that I've allowed, that is actually a sin? Because there'll be something. That is such an insult to God. When I worry, what I'm doing is saying, what I think about this God is bigger than what you think. Worry comes into play when my problem or circumstances become bigger than God. That's what worry means. God, you're not big enough to handle this situation. It's a lack of respect and it is not honouring. And that sounds really hard, but I think sometimes we've got to hear a hard word. We need someone who will tell us the truth. And the truth is, when we're worrying or whatever it is that you've become comfortable in, whatever sin, that is not honouring to God. It is actually disrespecting God and putting him lower than that circumstance. And I get comfortable in that. And God's saying to me, and he's saying to you, I want you to live a life that gives me the honour and glory that's due my name. So it's sounding a little bit heavy and I'm sounding a little bit mean, and I can hear your little minds ticking over. What about grace? What about grace? I want us to turn now to Hebrews. I found this scripture this week. I mean, it's always been there, but I just saw it in a different look, in a different view. So I want you to turn to Hebrews 12. I was really excited when I found this. And right at the end of Hebrews 12, in verse 28, I want you to listen to this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How exciting is that? The reason we have grace is not that so we can just go on doing all the things we're comfortable in. The reason we have grace is so that we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Revive me, Lord. Revive me with your fire. Really? He's going to have to burn some things up, some things that you've become comfortable with that maybe you don't even know, but they're not giving God the glory and the honor that's due his name. We do have grace. We have the line of the tribe of Judah, and we have the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. But we do like to swing this way a little bit. Or we do like it when it's the line of the tribe of Judah, when there's a battle to be won in our life or something to be overcome. But what about when it comes to us? Not so much then. The Bible teaches us that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that he remembers our sin no more, and that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In our ladies' Bible study, we've been learning a lot about condemnation and conviction and the difference. We should feel convicted. We should feel conviction every day. Never condemnation. The word tells us that he remembers our sin no more, and we need to come to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But it's dangerous when we get comfortable in sin, because then we don't even bring it to him. We don't even bring it to him and say, Lord, forgive me for worrying, for example. I want to read you a quote, and it came from studying this verse, which is Psalm 51, verse 4. You don't have to turn there, but you can look at it at home. And it's David, you know, and he's talking to God, and he says, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. In this verse, David acknowledges the seriousness of his sin. The emphasis isn't on the detail of the sin, but on who he has committed the sin against. Against you, God, and only you. And that broke his heart to think that he had done something dishonoring to the King of Glory. I want you to listen to this. That is, you have withheld obedience from him. You have refused to do what he commanded you to do. We don't often think about our sin like this, our worry or our anxiety or our trying to get, you know, spending too much time making a living when God's asking us to do other things, or when he says, you know, go and bless that person and we're too busy. These are all the things I'm talking about, things that we get comfortable with. We're not so comfortable with the big thing, the big sins, like we're, you know, they strike at our heart instantly. But the things that we consider the small things that we get comfortable with, look at it in this light. You have withheld obedience from him. You have refused to do what he commanded you to do. You have not hesitated to violate and break his holy law. How many times do I do that? Not even hesitate, because I've forgotten that it's the King of Glory. You have exalted and chosen your will above his will. You have said that the counsel and the will of Satan is more attractive to you and had more influence on you than the will of God. You have robbed God of his glory. Oh, that is pretty intense. You have said that the counsel and the will of Satan is more attractive to you and had more influence on you than the will of God, and you have robbed God of his glory. Oh, you're so quiet. You're so quiet. We need to get the balance right, is what I'm saying today. The King of Glory, that is an awesome thing, and we should not be afraid, but we should be afraid. I don't want to stand in front of God on judgment day. And he said, but you were so comfortable with your worry. I want us to embrace the image of our Lord. I want us to get the balance right. He is the Lamb who was slain for us. We could never have made that sacrifice, and we know that. He is everything we need. And I want us to embrace him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah in everything. When it comes to overcoming our enemies, acting strong on our behalf, we need to hold God in reverence and in awe. I think about the Queen of England. I was watching a thing on her this week, like a behind the scenes thing, and how she just, you know, I see her in her robe and her crown and sitting on her throne, and everyone is in awe of her, and they, you know, the respect that she gets. If the Queen walked in the room, there would be some respect from us. I respect her. We have the King of Glory, whose train, the train of his robe, fills the whole temple. Where's our respect? And where's the honour and the glory that's due his name? And do you know why I know we're lacking in that area? Because I look at my own life. And I can say what I like, but what about what I'm doing? What about what we're doing? This week, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about God in his majesty sitting with you, getting up with you in the morning, going to work with you, driving in the car with you. We like that when we want that nice presence of God, which is a good thing. We should live in that presence of God. But I want us to get the whole picture. When you're about doing what you're doing this week, and before you do anything, before you say anything, it's like, you know, would you say that in front of the Queen of England? Would you say that in front of your boss? Would you say that in front of a police, other someone that you respect and have authority for? There are things that come out of our mouth that we would never say in front of certain people, but we're comfortable behaving that way in front of the King of Glory. For myself, God, I don't want to be like that anymore, and it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work to make me turn from a rolled oat to flour or sugar. God, it's going to take some work. Well, guess what? I don't have to do it. I don't want you to go out of this place today thinking you have to do it. Because the minute you think you have to do it, guess what you've done? You've dishonored God and not given him the glory that's due his name. I want you to go out of this place today going, God, I need you more than ever I've needed you in my life. I want to live a life that gives you the glory and the honor that's due your name. And boy, do I need you. And do I need to be aware of you, Holy Spirit? I need to be aware that the King of Glory, I am in his presence. I am in his presence. Everywhere I go, I take his presence with me. We are ambassadors. We know that. We are ambassadors for the King of Glory. And we need to be giving him the honor that's due his name. I'm just going to finish with Hebrews 12 again. You've met with us today. You've communed with us today, Lord, and we love you. But, Lord, there's areas in our life, Holy Spirit, that you've shown us that we've become comfortable. We've become comfortable with some things, Lord, that don't bring you glory and honour, that is due your mighty name, the King of Glory, that when your glory appears, it's like the light from the sun. And when we see you, we fall down as a dead person because of your awesomeness. But God, you reach down and touch us and give us grace. Lord, I pray this week that we would have that balance in our lives, that every time we want to open our mouth, every time we go to confess something out of our mouth or an action that we're willing to take or a decision that we're going to make, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would remind us that we are in the presence of the King of Glory. He has entered in. The King of Glory has entered into our lives, and Lord, we offer ourselves to you as ones who want to give you the glory and the honor that is due to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.